We turn to the passage of scripture we read in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. And we shall read again verses 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. In verses 18 to 21, we have words which are taken from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42 of his prophecy. And these words concern the servant of the Lord. When you study Isaiah, there are a number of references to God's servant, the one whom he would send into the world, and the one who would fulfill God's eternal purpose among men, purpose of redemption. And the servant would come and he would suffer personally. Indeed, he would lay down his life. He would be obedient to the will of the Father. And that is evidently our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what Matthew is doing here. He's applying the words in Isaiah to Jesus Christ. Now we find Christ here faced by his enemies, the Pharisees. And the Pharisees have been angered by Christ. What has provoked them? Well, firstly, that Christ's disciples had in their eyes broken the Sabbath by plucking ears of corn to satisfy their hunger. It was the Sabbath day. That should not be done, according to the Pharisees. And then Christ himself had broken the Sabbath, in the view of the Pharisees, by healing the man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And we learn in verse 14, how great was the hatred indeed of the Pharisees toward Jesus Christ. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. That was their enmity. And it was scarce hidden. They were always trying to ensnare the Lord Jesus by getting him to say or do something they could use against him. Notice the response of Christ. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. The Pharisees were not interested in what Christ had to preach, but there were those who were listeners and followers, and those to whom Christ would gladly proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And he accompanied his preaching with those signs of the kingdom, miraculous healings of those who had no help of man. But then we read in verse 16, and charge them that they should not make him known. And you find that on several occasions in the Gospel. Christ telling someone whom he had blessed with a healing, not to tell anyone, but rather to follow himself. And we wonder at that. And the reason is along these lines. His time had not yet come. The time when he must be arrested and crucified. The time when he must pay for his people's sins by his death on the cross of Calvary. And as he performs miracles, they are made known, but he would not have them dominate what he is doing. He would not have these things published abroad to the extent that the Pharisees might be the more enraged, and the Pharisees might be the more determined to deal with him there and then. He has work to do. He must go through the towns and the villages of Israel. There are precious souls he must meet and bless. You see, while he had little time for the Pharisees, proud, self-righteous Pharisees, we see how he had a regard for the poor and needy. For those for whom the Pharisees had no time at all. There's the difference. The Pharisees, they were severe towards those who did not meet their own standards. But Jesus Christ showed kindness to the souls of men. And he spoke lovingly, patiently to them. And he does so today. That's the encouragement for ourselves. Poor and needy, knowing ourselves to be coming far short of what we ought to be, yet we trust, having a sincerity regarding the things of God, a desire for the Lord to serve him, to glorify his name. Well, Pharisees might have little time for us because we do not come up to their level. But the Lord Jesus looks sympathetically upon his own people. And he has much to encourage them with in his word. And that is what we wish to consider in terms of our text. We have illustrations of the Lord's people in all their feebleness. And we have words whereby we understand that the Lord is for them and he will help them. And that is for you if you are one of the Lord's and you're looking within and you're not seeing much and you're wondering whether you have grace at all. Well, if that is your interest, if it is your longing to know that the Lord is in your life, here are words which may help. And Jesus Christ is the one who draws near to those who are indeed empty within. That's how they feel. They are nothing, they can do nothing. But the Lord is with them, and the Lord will uphold them. Well, firstly, consider this. How Christ encourages the weak believer. He gives encouragement to the weak Christian. There in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break. Now see in the bruised reed an emblem of the Christian, of the child of God. A sinner saved by grace. There is certainly weakness there. You think of the reed and the wind blowing against it and it's bending and it may appear to be almost breaking. And are not the Lord's people like that? Christians are afflicted. They are tried. They are burdened. They have so many difficulties in this life. Yet remember how the Lord says that it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. That's spoken to his people. Those who are in the wilderness of this world. And they're looking for the heavenly city. It seems very far off. Well, they will only enter it, like Israel of old, through much in the way of trials and troubles. That's the Lord's way. It has never been otherwise. And there's wisdom in that. If we had an easy path, if there were never any difficulties in our way, we would hardly be looking to the Lord at all. We would think, I do not need the Lord. I can manage by myself. But he brings his own into those situations where they discover that they are not sufficient. They are wholly inadequate to cope. They're brought low so that they might apply to the Lord and obtain his help and be raised up again. And they're raised up in the spirit of thankfulness to the Lord. It's not of myself. It's the Lord's doing. It's wondrous in my eyes that he has helped such a one as I am, poor and needy. He keeps his people in that spirit along the journey of life, that they might trust in him and depend upon him. Well, the Lord's people may be bruised by providences, the things that are in their cup, the experiences they have. They endure poor health. They suffer losses. There are cruel disappointments. There are all these things that happen. Perhaps others oppose them unkindly and unjustly. And they wonder at the meaning of these things. What is the Lord doing by these things? And the devil tries to get in. And the devil often manages to discourage the Christian because the way is hard. Struggling and carrying burdens. What's the greatest burden of the Christian? Is it not our sin? Is it not that though the Lord has loved us, we seem to love him so little, and we're still doing the things we ever did, repeating the same mistakes and succumbing to the same temptation? It is as though we are not making the progress we ought to make. Do you see more of sin in your heart and life than you do of grace? Well, if you do, you are not alone. Search the scriptures. Look at the lives of the godly men and women there. That is what you find. Even the great Apostle Paul, when he would do good, evil was present. He had the desire and the aim to glorify God, but all too often that he came short of that mark. That's how we are. What remains of sin in us? It asserts itself. The devil exploits it. Temptations arise. And we are weak in the face of them. This is our burden. We're carrying about this old nature. And That will be so until our dying day. Only then will it be cast off. But we read here, a bruised reed shall he not break. That is the Lord Jesus looking upon one of his own, beholding the weakness and the struggles and the strivings, seeing the burden, and the Lord Jesus meeting that Christian at the point of his or her need, coming by his Spirit, giving the grace required to uphold and to keep. And we are to look to Christ. That is our great need day and daily, to look to Christ. We'll look at ourselves, we'll look to our fellow Christians, we'll look to the world, we'll go to all these places for our help. But the one place we must go is to the Lord, to his word, to the throne of grace. That's where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Here's the bruised reed, the Christian, suffering so many difficulties and afflictions. And the Lord sees these things. And the Lord, by his strength, preserves the Christian in a state of grace. Is it not a wonder to you that as a believer you are kept? That you are enabled to stand upright in a wicked, God-hating world? That is indeed the Lord's doing. When you look at a reed swaying in the breeze, in the gale indeed, it is bent right over. You may think, well, that's going to break. It's a flimsy thing. But marvelously, the reed may sway, and then when the gale ceases, that reed will stand upright again. It's not broken. It's been preserved. And of course, the reed has a root. A root in the ground. And because it's well rooted, it can withstand the blowing of the storm. Can you see yourself there? One of the Lord's people, tempest come in your life, but you're kept. And you're kept because you're rooted and grounded by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And he is the source, the only source of your strength. Be thankful for that. When a believer ceases to look to Christ and depend upon him, there is the danger of backsliding, as we call it. One who's named the name of Christ, made a profession, then seems to go back upon that profession. Careless. Indifferent regarding the things of God, not watching and praying. Someone said this about the backslider. The backslider begins with a dusty Bible and ends with filthy garments. Bible unread, the Word of God not taken to heart, and then sin entering in, worldliness, ungodliness, spoiling, marring the profession. If that a backslider is one of the Lord's, then the Lord will recover that one in due course, even though it may be through much humbling, and you have such in the Scriptures. You have Simon Peter, and you had him denying the Lord, even with oaths and cursing. That was a grievous sin. But we note that the Lord did not cast off Simon Peter. And when the Lord spoke, looking upon Simon Peter, we read of how he went out. He was weeping bitterly. The sin had been brought home to him. And he sought the Lord's mercy. And the Lord restored him. Now, we don't presume upon such a thing as though it gives us a license to sin. Oh, the Lord will take me back. That's not the way for the Christian. The Christian is to follow Jesus Christ, keep the Word of God. But if there is a failure, there is this encouragement from the Lord, that he will never leave nor forsake. And the good work begun, he will continue. A bruised reed shall he not break. Christ encourages the weak believer. Secondly, Christ encourages the doubting believer. And that's another form of our weakness. And it's one that perhaps the Lord's people are most troubled by at times. They believe in God. But are they sure of their interest in Christ? Christ who died for sinners. And what we're told here is the smoking flax shall he not quench. The smoking flax. He will not quench it. He will not put it out. But again, the emblem is clear. Speaking of something which is feeble. Something which is weak. The flax was used to form a thread, which would be the wick of a lamp or a candle. Taking up the wax or the oil to burn, to produce a flame and to produce light. And sometimes the flax, the wick, would just be smoldering. Wouldn't really be burning brightly. And perhaps we've had that in our own experience with a candle or with some form of lamp to get it to burn. Christians may be like that. There's just a little light there. It's a flicker only. It's hardly evident. Especially, it's hardly evident to themselves. That's the difficulty the Christian may have. Where is my light? Light in my soul. Light in my life. Oh, that there were more light. The comfort of God's word, the assurance of salvation. Doubting, fearing. That can be the Christian in terms of their hope for eternity. Perhaps You are like this. You know that the Lord's people ordinarily have hope, a blessed hope, a sure and certain hope. Other Christians, you know, are bright and they're shining and their lives are evidently lived in Christ Jesus, and they're testifying of Him and they are confident in Him. But you are not like that. There's a timidity about you, a fearfulness. Will I last? Stay the course? Will I endure to the end? I feel so weak. I'm stumbling along. I cannot see in my life the evidences I would like to see that I am one of the Lord's people. I am so unworthy. Well, friends, we're all unworthy. Utterly unworthy. It's not a matter of our worthiness at all. Christ is the worthy one. Christ has pity upon those who see nothing in themselves. And Christ is able to bless such with a stronger faith and the comfort of assurance. It brings us to this question. How can I know that I am a Christian? That I've been born again? That I have eternal life? Well, a Christian is a child of God. And we might ask, what does a child have in the way of encouragement in terms of the relation with the parents? Well, the child enjoys the presence of the parents. They are there at all times, near at hand. And the child believes that, knows that, and is encouraged by that. Well, if that is true for the children of this world, is it not true for the child of God? Is it not so that the Lord is near His people? Is it not so that the Lord is able to sympathize with them, to come to their aid? Has He not done that for you in time past? Have you not seen His hand in your life? Have you not experienced His deliverances? Child will also know the provision made by a parent. In the home, the family home, the child dependent upon his or her parents. Those parents doing anything for the child because the child is their child. And God is like that to His own. Nothing is too hard for Him. God is a bountiful God. He provides all our need. He encourages us to go to Him in every time of need with the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and grants us our request. There's no lack in God. The lack is on our part. And faith is strengthened by being used. Make use of your faith. what faith you have, and you will find that it grows. And you have more in the way of heavenly comfort in your soul. And the child has the affection of the parents, an unconditional love for the child. If that is so in this life, in our natural family, or think of God, God our Heavenly Father, think of the love he has to his own people. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. Infinite love, unchangeable love. It never varies. It's constant. It's manifest in what the Lord does for his own. It's there in the gospel. Is there something of it revealed to your soul? The love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. All these things are enjoyed in looking to Christ. And we need to do that more. And the Lord will draw near. And the Lord will make himself known. And the Lord will cause the lamp to burn more brightly. You may be like the man we read of in Mark, whose son was possessed with a dumb spirit. And of course, he longed for his son to be delivered from that spirit. And you remember his words to the Lord Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You may be like that. We're all like that at times. We believe in God. And yet there's unbelief at the same time. Doubts are there. And the man was doing the right thing. He was asking the Lord for grace. He was praying to the Lord that the Lord would strengthen his faith. Deal with his doubts. If you have doubts, doubts concerning where you stand with God, take them to the Lord. Ask for the Lord's help, and the Lord will surely give it. And that's where we may be. But we surely desire to be where those two disciples were, of whom we read in Luke's account of the gospel. They were on the way to Emmaus. And the Lord drew near to them, and they did not know it was the Lord initially. And yet Jesus was pleased to make himself known to them. At meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? That is a good token of saving faith, of the new life of grace, that when the word of God is read and preached, your heart burns. There's an awareness of the truth and how you have a personal interest in it. There's an awareness that these things of which the Bible speaks have been fulfilled in your own experience. You're growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, Christ encourages the weak believer, and Christ encourages the doubting believer. But then, thirdly and finally, Christ encourages believers in general, his own people. Bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And these words seem to be looking ahead to the last day, the day of judgment. Christ will return to this world, and he will sit upon his judgment seat. We will all appear before him to receive from him, according to the deeds done in the body. The life will speak. May have been a life of sin and unbelief and disobedience and rejection of the gospel. A life that speaks of the corruption of our nature, our unrighteousness, our guilt. That life will be judged. It will be judged according to God's law. And that life comes short indeed of all that God requires. And a holy and just God must punish sin. He will punish it in the unbeliever. And that is utter loss and eternal ruin. But there are others, no better than their fellow men by nature, but loved by God, given grace to believe in Christ, and grace to follow Christ, and grace to be faithful to Christ, and grace in a measure to be fruitful for Christ. Their lives were not perfect, but they spoke of the wonder of saving grace, the love of Christ. And the Lord will judge those lives. And the judgment will be in the way of an acquittal, a full absolution. The judgment will be in the way of a vindication. Many believers are misrepresented in this life. Others find fault with them, and perhaps they find fault with themselves. But Christ will bring forth judgment unto victory. There will be a triumph for the church, the people of God, at the last day. Here they were, a little flock, following the Good Shepherd. There they will be a great multitude, all clothed in robes of white, shining white. In this life they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They knew what to do with their sin. They went to the Savior, sought mercy, And the Lord blessed them, forgiving them, renewing them, enabling them to continue in the narrow way which leads unto life. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. For we live in the time when that is fulfilled. Indeed, since Christ returned to the Father and the Spirit came, the gospel has gone forth to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles have been brought into the church. Do you trust in the name of Christ? It's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what a salvation. Even though you may be a bruised reed, a smoking flax, if you are the Lord's, you are on the victory side. And you need to make sure that you are among his people. Do not go on in doubt, but look to the Lord and pray earnestly that he would give you what you need, that you will be one of his and know that you are one of his by faith in his name. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, grant us grace, we pray. May thy word instruct our minds. And may we know what it is to be strong in faith and to be standing in the storm. On the side of Christ, not ashamed of the gospel. Help us in all our difficulties and deliver us out of all our troubles. And the glory shall be thine through Jesus Christ. Amen.